ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Well, spring is in the air, literally, in a lot of places, and we're starting to see the buds, and that means spring allergies for those of us that suffer. So I want to welcome my next guest, Dr. Ryan Stanton. He's a board-certified emergency physician in Lexington, Kentucky. He's the medical director at his emergency department and a national spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians, and he was the recipient last year of ASEP's first ever Spokesperson of the Year Award. So, Dr. Stanton, thank you so much for being here. He's a frequent guest. It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and especially on a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
Right, as we all sniffle and such. So, you know, spring allergies, it's still kind of, you know, March is the end of the cold season, sort of. So how do people decide, okay, is this just a little cold I've gotten, or aside from the fact that it happens the same time every year, or is this an allergy? What kind of are the subtle differences, you think?
Well, really the main thing is what you've touched on, and that's the pattern. Most people are going to have a pattern that the same time every year or in the same situation or in the same environment, they're going to have the symptoms spring up. So a lot of times people come in the ER and they say, I've had this nagging cold, it's usually in the fall or spring, I've had this nagging cold or snifflies or runny nose for about 2 months. And you get to the point, you're like, no, that's not a cold. You're getting well past the viral syndrome kind of course. Now, the first week or so, it may be a little bit hard to tell the difference, and especially if you're moving to a new area. I live in the hotbed of seasonal allergies here in Kentucky, in central Kentucky, and when people come in, they say they just moved here, they come in with the symptoms, they say, I've never had allergies, and I say, well, congratulations, you do now, you've moved to Kentucky. It's one of the gifts we give you when you come across the state line.
Right, that's... Yeah, I know. I think the same thing happens kind of in Maryland. And it's funny, I heard that, you know, people sometimes are moving to like Arizona or the desert thinking that they're going to get away from seasonal allergies. And then they bring all these types of plant forms in around their house that they had out east or whatever, or up north. And then, boom, the same things develop again, right?
And there's allergens everywhere. So there's no place you're going to move that's immune from allergies. Now, you may escape what you're sensitized to, so what really gets you going, when you may escape from that and have improvement. But you're going to have some allergies everywhere. And I'm a testify that, you know, going out west into places that don't have a lot of greenery, like where I am and where you are, I still have seasonal allergies. And it's really a lot about understanding what you're allergic to. So even if that means getting the testing or just understanding the patterns. Like, I'm going to go visit my parents this weekend, and they have three dogs, and I know that as soon as I get in the house, me and my daughters both, or all three of us, end up just clogging up and sounding terrible the rest of the visit. And so we know we have to pre-treat when we go there and start treating throughout and be a little bit more diligent on it, understanding what the patterns are and understanding what your allergies are. It may not be something in the environment. It may not be the trees and pollens. It may be dust in the house. It may be mold in the house. So if you don't know, if you start to recognize the pattern or you don't know, it's good to go get tested to really know what you need to target and what you need to be aware of, because it's not going to do you any good if you try to avoid tree pollens when, in fact, it's your dog that you're allergic to.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think I saw a statistic, 40 million people in the United States have some type of indoor or outdoor allergy. And it seems to be on the rise. Why do you think that is? I mean, I once read something about something called the hygienic theory, you know, that we are keeping so many antibiotics and you know, our body starts fighting, same thing with food allergies, it starts fighting basic things that we have, you know, we're taking in food or whatever else, and you know, we're so hygienic in everything else that it's just our immune systems are beefed up and it starts fighting little common things we come into contact with as opposed to bacteria. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think that I don't think we fully understand. One thing with science and medicine is we're always learning something new, like the recent article that came out about how BPA and some of the drinking bottles and things can increase asthma risk. You know, I think there's a lot of things out there we don't understand in terms of things we expose ourselves to and things we have in the environment that may trigger this more. But, yeah, I completely agree. The number I've got is about 20% of the U.S. population has some form of hay fever or allergic rhinitis. And it feels to me like the numbers are getting worse. I see more and more people with asthma, more and more people with seasonal allergies. And I'd say around here, it's definitely not as low as 20%. Our numbers here are much higher than that. Almost everybody has some sort of seasonal allergy or some sort of hay fever, something going around. And so I think there's a lot we don't understand. More at this point, it's more of just acknowledging it and then understanding what you need to do. Because most people aren't going to need to take a antihistamine or one of the other allergy medicines year-round. They may need it in the spring, so for the next couple of months, or in the fall for a couple of months. But I think one thing around here and around a lot of the country is the changes in the weather. We've had a lot of really unusual winters here the last couple of years with a lot of warm weather early, so we've already had some of our flowers coming back up, but then again it snowed this week. And so I think with a lot of the weather changes, we're getting a lot of pollens out more often throughout the year and a lot more exposure. So I think instead of being a really defined allergy season, we're seeing more of hit and miss kind of stuff throughout the year. So last year, I had to stay on my medicine almost the entire year because of the symptoms, and I'd go off them for a while and then start to get the headaches and the runny noses and the stuffiness and then hit right back onto them. And this year, I'm already back on them again, and I'm starting to see the influx of patients in the ER, and it's always the first ones feel like it's a cold. So you get about, you know, the first couple of weeks, as everybody comes in and says, I've picked up a cold. I've just got this runny nose and stuffiness and this frontal headache. And you start getting, it looks like we're getting into allergy season. So let me try this for you and see if we can help you get better from that standpoint.
Okay. And then you bring up a good point, because even people that sort of know they have allergies can be a trigger for secondary super infection, because your body's so busy fighting the allergy, sometimes just normal bacteria that can be in your throat and sinus can overgrow. And it's also can be serious for people that have other respiratory problems. So what should people think about when to go to the ER or when to see a doctor for their allergies, even if they know they have allergies?
Well, I think at any point, if you've got significant difficulty with breathing or increased work of breathing, or your medicines, especially with like asthma and the albuterol inhalers, if they're not helping, you need to follow up and get that taken care of so you're not sitting at home getting worse until it gets to the point that it's too late. Other than that, especially people who are high risk, immunosuppressed people that start developing high fevers, recurrent infections that don't go away with antibiotics, the bacterial infections, or what's presumed to be bacterial infections that don't go away with antibiotics, you need to get those checked out. And I think the key is to get on a regimen of prevention. You know, there's nothing that's 100% in this, but I think a lot of people can control it once they establish what they're allergic to, once they establish the patterns, and then they can get into a preventive measure. So to prevent those congestions, the sinusitis, the secondary sinusitis, the secondary and ear infections, even the secondary pneumonias and things like that. I don't know that many people look that far out. We're very much a reactionary medical system, and more than a preventive medical system. So we can prevent a lot of stuff by thinking ahead and acting ahead in conjunction with primary care physicians and with emergency physicians to help people understand what's going on, to help teach them, which is really our main job, and then get them onto some sort of regimen to help them out.
Very good advice. I want to thank my guest. And there's a lot of good allergy medicines out there now that are over the counter, and they don't make you sleepy like the older allergy medicine. So there's a lot of options out there for you. So thanks, Dr. Stanton. We appreciate the advice.